This being Thanksgiving week, I am grateful and thankful, of course, for many things, traditional things that we typically think about for Thanksgiving. We often think of freedom and family, friends, good things to eat, the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, and so forth. However, I think we often fail to realize exactly how fortunate we are for the blessings of the Father. So today I want to examine some of the blessings to add further to our joy this Thanksgiving week as we come upon Thanksgiving this Thursday. There are so many, I had trouble narrowing it down, but I have a dozen or so that I want to point out to you that are blessings for us and things that we need to be thankful for on this coming Thanksgiving Day. So if you would, open your Bibles first to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, page 1762 in a companion Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Quickened. What does it mean to be quickened? You who were dead are now quickened. Well, quicken means to be given vigor, to have vigor, to restore life or to stimulate means to quicken, to be vivacious while you're alive rather than just moping along dead, even though you're living. To be quickened is to be vivacious in your life. One of the things that I've noticed in my travel over the years that in parts of the country, particularly when you go into the Bible Belt, into areas of the country where there are, like in, down in South Carolina, there's a church on every hill down there. It's unbelievable. But the people in those areas of the country tend to be more quickened than they are in other places. You go to New York City, and people are walking around talking to themselves, and, you know, they're dirty and filthy. You go to the West Coast, it's the same thing. They don't seem to be quickened. They're not alive. And it's the world are the ones here in verse 1 that are considered to be dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead. And that is the world today. 1 minute, Madison Avenue, with all of their slick advertising and so forth, the executives there and the media, they have the world off the ground in great euphoria with all the wonderful things that are happening. Their heads are in the cloud, but the next day, the people tend to be down in the dumps, tripping along on their bottom lip because of things that are pushed in the news and so forth. Negative, trembling over things that actually have no effect on them whatsoever. It's in the news. People whiplash back and forth between emotional highs and lows. The Dow Jones Industrial Average registers it. It tends to go up and down sometime with nothing more than some event around the world happening. It's because those that are connected with that are not quickened. The world population is not quickened. There's no hope for the future. The average American has no concept of God's redeeming love and plan. Verse 4 and 5 that we read there, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I don't know about you, but on this Thanksgiving week, I am thankful for quickening love and being quickened and being made alive in Christ Jesus. Second, look in that second chapter of Ephesians down to verse 18. For through him, that's through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What a wonderful thing. Access to the Father. I can go straight to the throne of God, straight to the King. No side door for me. I have access to the Father. March right in to the throne. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter, page 1829. Hebrews chapter 4. And in that fourth chapter, go to the last verse. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad that God does not have an answering machine? He doesn't keep office hours. We can walk boldly into the throne of God anytime. The line is always open. There's no busy signal, no phone tree, switchboard, or operator to go through, translation into English from Spanish and vice versa. That's because sometimes we need solace at 3 a.m. in the morning when something tragic has happened within our lives, and it's that time of day that we need to call on Him for mercy. How would you like to call up and get an answer on the answer machine? Sorry, I'm not in right now. At the sound of the beep, leave your message. Verse 16 there where it says, mercy. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That is the same as compassion. And grace is undeserved favor in time of trouble. We often need solace from Him, and we can know that we can walk directly into Him. This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for access to the Father through prayer. No priest with a funny hat and a cauldron of smoke to go before Him for me. I have direct access to the Father. Third, back up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning, we're going to skip a couple verses here, but starting in chapter 10, or in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And then go to verse 14, that we henceforth no more be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Knowing the truth, we can grow up. No longer tossed about, no longer deceived by the world, but able to know and to speak the truth. Do you realize that world knowledge right now is doubling about every 2 or 3 years? That's that fast a pace of knowledge is coming. The college degree that I got is worthless. It's not up to speed. It's long gone. Knowledge is doubling every 2 to 3 years. And yet, the world is ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for being able to speak the truth in love. I have an obsolete degree, but I am rooted and grounded in love, and am able to speak the truth, and thereby have hope for the future, and it adds to my quickening and my vigor for life. Number four, there in that fourth chapter of Ephesians, look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But we have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The important thing here is that the mind controls your actions. You tend to be what you say in the mind, how you think. And without this renewing of the mind, you drift towards the ways of the world. And it is there that you find trouble. Only with the renewing of your mind that comes through the Word of God can you walk and live a separate lifestyle. This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for the renewing of my mind, that I may walk according to the vocation wherein I have been called. Am I perfect? No. But do I have a renewing of the mind? Yes. And that guides me, that keeps me in the center of his will. Number five, there in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. In our house, this coming Thursday, we will have some good sweet smelling savor, for sure. And I am thankful to Rosemary and her efforts and the daughters for what they do on Thanksgiving for a sweet smelling savor. But here in this verse, we have something greater in a sweet savor. It is an offering to the Father, a sacrifice. These are the payment for our salvation in Christ because he loved us. We are the sweet-smelling savor offered to the God, those who believe. No strings attached. Nothing due for me. Free and clear I am. And this Thanksgiving, I am thankful for the salvation that is free to all that believe because of this sweet-smelling savor that we are described as being offered to God through our Savior, Christ Jesus. Number 6. There in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, look at verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We must be thankful for the light that has become available through the written word. This is the result of study, the result of understanding. I am thankful for it. In the measure of grace that has been given to Paul, wherein we can know the mystery. And for all of the great scholars who have gone before us, who have been able to translate the original into English to where we can study to show ourselves approved unto God. This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful that we are not in the dark. Literally also, since we fixed the lights, we're in the light. I'm grateful that we're not in the dark. Number 7 in that 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, look at down to verse 11 of that 5th chapter. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And by the way, that means posting it on Facebook. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou sleep that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise. Reproof. What is reproof? What does reproof mean? Reproof means to rebuke, to censor, to convict. The light or the truth reveals and makes manifest or reproves. In verse 15, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise. I am grateful on this Thanksgiving week that we can walk, not as fools, but as the wise, because of the light that's been given to us as a result of the word and our effort in it. Number 8, there in the 5th chapter again, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Music, it's a wonderful thing. David, he's playing on his harp, you know, back in the Old Testament. I think I've told you this story before about Larry Dyer down in South Carolina, a Bible teacher down there who had a stroke and he could no longer sing. He couldn't get started. He couldn't remember the words. He couldn't sing the melody. But he wanted to sing all of these old hymns. And at the time when we were there, I didn't have any hymn books. And he found out that I could sing most of these hymns from memory. And he kept prodding me. Okay, let's sing this one. But if I would sing and I could sing the words, then he could come along with me. He couldn't do it on his own. But it came to bear on my mind what a good thing music actually is. It's therapeutic to him to go back and sing these hymns, making melody in his heart, music to the praise and honor of glory and of God. And I'm thankful this Thanksgiving week for that we can make melody in our hearts, that we have the medium of music that's been provided to us through Christ, through God. Number 9, Ephesians, again, chapter 5. This book of Ephesians is so full of stuff, you could stand here for 6 years. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and as a wife see that she reverenced her husband. Marriage. It's a strange comparison. It is compared, the wife and the husband, church and Christ, to the marriage. And I don't know, did you happen to see, what's the one of the female newscasters, I think it's McDonald, she was on 2020 or 60 Minutes, and she was interviewing the number 2 guy at the Vatican, who is now the right-hand guy to the Pope. And she was crucifying him with regards to the fact that they didn't have female priests. And were they going to have female priests? And he's fumbling all over himself. He's saying, well, we now have female bishops in place of this and that. But you know what? He could not explain the position of the Catholic Church, why they only have priests. And I'm standing there, I'm listening, and I'm feeling sorry for the guy, actually. But he did not know that there's this certain order, according to God, that exists between man and woman. And it's shown in the marriage arrangement in Scripture. And that's why they won't ever have, or if they hear the Scripture, they won't ever have a female priest. It's because of this arrangement in Scripture. But it shows the importance of the institution of marriage, and in fact teaches something that's not often brought up. And if you were at Adeline's and Weston's marriage here a week or so ago, I pointed it out, and that is the fact that there's this reciprocal agreement that exists with this marriage. Woman is to reverence her husband. The husband is to die for her if need be, because Christ so did for his church. It's a mystical relationship, this marriage, and I'm thankful for it. But the world is walking away from it. It's unbelievable. I forget the percentages, but 40% of the marriages today end up in some kind of divorce. Whatever, I'm thankful on this Thanksgiving Day for the institution of marriage. Number 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. You've read it. Read it again. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We live in a dangerous, a crooked, and perverse world. Especially so under Satan's onslaught through principalities and powers. They mess with your mind. There's so much out there today that's nothing wrong with it, with books and movies and TV and video games and all kinds of gadgets and apps by the thousands. All of these things are good, but Satan also uses them to distract your mind from that which is really the important thing. I've done this before, and I'm going to do it again. You've seen it before. This is what Satan does. He delivers up the prettiest package that you've ever seen. And in that package are all kinds of things that the world says are great. Designer drugs, premarital sex, all kinds of crazy, wild music and things. And if you're not careful, if you don't have this armor here that's being talked about, the Christian tends to pick around on the outside of this pretty package. But inside, there's a death rattle. It's like a rattlesnake in there. And ultimately, things of the world, you end up addicted. You end up pregnant premaritally. You end up in prison because this pretty package includes a death rattle. And the young people don't recognize it. It's so beautiful. It's so attractive. Oh, we're having a wonderful time. It's so great. Let's do this. Everybody's doing it. But inside is a death rattle. I'm thankful this Thanksgiving for the armor that we have in Christ Jesus. Do we have an armor to help us as we struggle against principalities and the powers of this world? Don the armor. Put on all of the armor. You can't just use part of it. You can't just use the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. You've got to have your loins girded about with truth, because that gives you the light and that gives you the hope, and thereby you are quickened in your life rather than being whipped between emotional highs and lows by the things of this world and by Madison Avenue. I'm thankful for the armor. Number 9, Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Titus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. I am thankful for friends in the Lord. Thankful for each of you as being a friend in the Lord. The affairs of Paul here are being shared and made known to other Christians of the day. And you know, sometimes you just need to vent with all that's going on in the world, and there's nothing like a good friend to vent to with what's going on. Bad things happen. That's the way it is. But we learn obedience by the things that we suffer, as did Christ. Good things happen also. You know, you've heard me tell the story, I think, about, I don't think Dave probably heard it, but the preacher that always wanted to play golf on Sunday morning. And he had a bunch of parishioners out there that were all golfers, and every once in a while, he'd look out there and he'd see, well, half a dozen of them are not here today, and I know where they are. They're out there playing golf. And he always had this desire to go play with them, but he couldn't. So one Sunday, he arranged for a guest speaker, and he went over to the next town, and he went over and he played golf on Sunday morning. And he got up on the first hole, and he hit an errant drive, and it went over and hit in the creek and bounced up and hit a tree and went on the green, went in the hole, and made a hole in one. St. Peter's up there saying, Lord, what are you doing giving that guy a hole in one? This lousy preacher out there shirking his duty, playing golf on Sunday morning, and you give him a hole in one? The Lord said, Peter, who's he going to tell? Sometimes we need friends. It ain't bragging if you done it. You just want to tell about it. So here, Paul, he's sharing the things that have happened to him. And I'm thankful this Thanksgiving that I have good friends in the Lord, and you are some of them. So let me conclude here, just a review of what we've looked at in closing. I'm thankful on Thanksgiving for a quickening love, for access to the Father, for being able to speak the truth in love, for the renewing of my mind, for the offering that I am, a sweet savoring smell to the Father through the work of Christ, that I have gone from darkness to light because of the written word, that I have reproof for the things of the world. I can see them and what they do and the problems they cause. I'm grateful for music in my heart. I can't sing so well anymore, but I still do it anyway, at least in my heart. It's joy, actually, and it's praise to Him. I'm thankful for the institution of marriage. I'm thankful for the whole armor of God. Put it on. Do you realize that not everybody can don the armor? Not everybody can put it on. They put on the helmet of salvation, but to get the whole thing on, you got to have the truth. Your loins girded about with truth. And that comes through study of the Word. If you don't, there's a chink in your armor. And you're susceptible to the fiery darts of the wicked one if you don't put on the whole armor. Finally, friends in the Lord, I'm grateful for each of you. And I will add these things to my gratefulness on this coming Thanksgiving Day. And I hope that you do also. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love towards us. We're grateful that we can be quickened in our lives as a result of what you've provided for us. Pray that you would continue to be with each one here, guide and direct us in the vocation wherein we are called. For it's in Christ's name we pray, amen.